Today in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in the Darim Daf Lamed Ches. We're learning today Leila Nishmas Jesse Brickner Chasya Bas Dov Zev. We pick up the Gemara three lines from the top Lamed Ches and Aleph with the words Amar Rav Acha Bar Ada. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Ada, Rav Acha Bar Ada tells us that B'marav in Eretz Yisrael Poskin Lohadim Psuka Litlosa Psukim. In Eretz Yisrael they would break up this pasuk into three different psukim, even though we have it as one pasuk. This pasuk, which we have as Shmos Yutes, Pasuk Tes, they broke up, again, as I said, into three different psukim. Vayom HaShem Moshe, Hinei Anochi, Bo Elecha Bi'av HaAnon. Now, that's the way they broke up the first part of this pasuk. However, for us, we continue, Bavu Yishma Om Bidabri Imach, V'gam Becho Yaminu Li'olam. So that's how they broke up as the second part of the pasuk. And the third part of the pasuk was Vayaged Moshe as the Reya Om El Hashem. So again, in Eretz Yisrael, they broke it up to three psukim. We have it as one pasuk. And this is consistent with what we learned in yesterday, that the Chachamim knew how to break up the psukim in certain ways to represent certain ideas, so they had a slightly different way of breaking it up in Eretz Yisrael than we do outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chama, who's the son of Rabbi Chanina, said the following, Lo hashir Moshe elo mipsultan shaluchos. Moshe Rabbeinu got rich only from the psolas, from the leftovers from making the luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, smashed the first luchos, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, so lucha, shle luchos avanim karishonim, and therefore, from the leftover, from chiseling out of these luchos, that was very, very expensive material, and that's how Moshe Rabbeinu got rich. Shenema, pesol lucha shle luchos avanim karishonim, and pesol ton shelucha yehe. So he's telling us, pesol lucha, so the psol, the leftovers, the extra that is chiseled away, that wasn't used as part of the luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu got to keep. That's how Moshe became very wealthy. That's what Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina tells us. Amar Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Rav Yossi, also the son of Rabbi Chanina, tells us, Lo nitna Torah el Moshe Lazaro. Originally, the Torah was only given to Moshe Rabbeinu and his direct descendants. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Pesol Lucha, and it says, Kisov Lucha. So we learn out the same drasha. Just like Pesol Lucha was for you, so too, Map Sultan Shalucha, so too, Av Kisovan Shalucha. Kisov Lucha, Psal Lucha, both darshan in the same way, that is just for Moshe Rabbeinu and for Moshe Rabbeinu's descendants. And therefore, the rest of the Torah wasn't really given to Klai Yisrael. However, Moshe Nog Botovus Ayin Unisol Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was, of course, a very generous person, and he saw the great, 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 great value of the Torah. Therefore, he transmitted to the rest of Klai Yisrael as well, even though it was supposed to be only for him. That's what Rav Yosef Ruchanina tells us. For all of Akos of Omen, about Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore, because he was such a Tov Ayin, he was such a generous, nice person, so the Pasuk in Mishle says, for all of Akos of Omer, Tov Ayin, hu yivorach v'gomer. A person who's a Tov Ayin, who's a good person, he'll be greatly, greatly blessed. So therefore, this Pasuk in Mishle, Tov Ayin, hu yivorach, kinosan milachmo ladol. He gives from his bread to the poor. So that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Maser Ruchis, Ruchis doesn't like this, and he says, wait a second, the Pasuk says, Va'osi tziva Hashem bo'esahi ulamid ischem. Moshe Rabbeinu says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me to teach you. So how can you say it was only given out to Moshe Rabbeinu? So Gemara says, no, Va'osi tziva, I, Moshe Rabbeinu, was commanded, Va'osi tziva. However, Va'ani lachem, but out of the goodness of my heart, the Tov Ayin aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu, I taught it to the rest of Klal Yisrael. Ruchista says, furthermore, wait a second, how can you say it was only given to Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was told in this pasuk that he has to go and teach Klai Yisrael the Chukim u'Mishpatim. So again, the word says, no, Osi Tziva, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu. Osi Tziva, v'ani lachem, but I chose on my own to give it over to the rest of Klai Yisrael as well. Try again. V'ato kisu lachem asishuazos. Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Kodesh Baruch Hu to write down the Torah, Kitzvu Lachem Es Hashira Azos. So doesn't that mean that you have to give it to Klai Yisrael? Where it says, no, Hashira Lechuda. It was just that shir that it's talking about here is the shira of Hazinu. But the rest of the Torah was only given to Moshe and his Zaro, and not to the rest of Klai Yisrael. So the Gemara says, wait a second, it says, L'man Tia Li Hashira Azos Le'ed Bivnei Yisrael, that this Shira will be a witness for all of the children of Klai Yisrael. So how can you tell me that this was only the Shira? What type of an aid would that be if it was just this Shira? It must be talking about the entire Torah and not just the Shira. As the Ran says, Dibur Masel Leman Tia Li Hashira, V'Yishira Levad Dekamar, Maisa Dusa Ika. How does that prove anything if it's just the Shira? So Gemara says, you're 100% right. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the only one given the Torah. He was given the Torah and, of course, then told to teach it to Klai Yisrael. However, what was just for Moshe Rabbeinu and out of the goodness of his heart, he taught it to Klai Yisrael, that's referring to Ella pilpula bi'alma. As the Ran says, diba maskul pilpula bi'alma, nos and lola Moshe, the pilpul of the Torah, that was only given to Moshe Rabbeinu. But who? Noag, bo, tovis ayin. Moshe Rabbeinu was generous and gave it over to Yisrael. And therefore, that's what it refers to over here, that Moshe Rabbeinu only was given this, but he, out of the goodness of his heart, taught it to the rest of Klai Yisrael. That's the pilpul. That's the, as the Rosh says over here, havano v'charifus, that was given only to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he extended that and gave it over to the rest of Klai Yisrael. Mark continues and says, "Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan tells us, 'Ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mashu Shchinoso El Agibor V'Oshev V'Chochem V'Onav V'Chulim Moshe Rabbeinu.'" So Rav Yochanan tells us that Hakadosh Baruch Hu only allows His divine presence to be felt on a person who has all of these character traits, which of course Moshe Rabbeinu had, and they have to be: he has to be Gibor, very strong; V'Oshev, very wealthy; V'Chochem, very smart; V'Onav, very humble. That's the Girsa that we have in our Gemara. Agos Tzionim Oz Dalit brings down the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Tzadi Beis. Amud Aleph has a slightly different Girsa. It says Chacham V'Gibor, those are the same. V'Asher, that's the same. Then the fourth one, instead of Onav, it has Ubal Koma, a very tall person. And he brings down from the Griv that Mitzvah Liyashiv. Why the two Girsas are different, he didn't give it an explanation as to why not. In any event, these four character traits we see from Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina dwells on such a person, it rests on such a person, if they have these four things: Gibor, Asher, Chacham, V'Onav. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu had all four of them. And obviously the Gemara says, where do we see that Moshe Rabbeinu had all four? So Gibor, where do we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was a very strong person? The Pasuk tells us, Vayifros Esa'ol Ala Mishkan. The Mishkan had various types of rooftops that were made up of various curtains. Different layers had different materials that they were made of. And Moshe Rabbeinu spread over the top of the Ohel Moed, he spread over on the top of the Mishkan these curtains. And we learned in the following Braisa, Moshe Rabbeinu Piraso, Moshe Rabbeinu himself spread this over. Now, that was obviously a difficult task to do, because Uksiv, Eser Amos Orech HaKorish V'Gomer, each one of the Kroshim of these pillars that was the walls of the Mishkan, then you had to stand next to them and put these curtains over on top of the Mishkan to make the roof of the Mishkan. So obviously, that was 10 amos tall. So Moshe Rabbeinu obviously was very, very tall, and we want to learn from there that just like he was very, very tall and could do this, he was also very, very strong. Moshe says, who says he was very strong? Maybe he was just very tall. Emo de Arich, yeah, he was very tall. However, v'katid, but who says he was strong? Maybe he was weak. You can't bring me a raya from there. So as the Ran brings down an Arich v'katid, he says, Arich v'kome, yeah, he was very tall. However, v'katid v'kach, but maybe he was very small in his strength. Who says that these things were so heavy that he wasn't able to do so? Someone before Shem asks, well, why don't we bring a raya from the fact that he was able to stand up the Krushim, the Amudim? That was very heavy, and he was able to stand those up, so you could bring a raya from there. So, Sarachian, why we don't bring a raya from there? In any event, the Gemara says, so where do we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was so strong? Eli, you're right, min hoden kro. From this pasuk, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was strong. The pasuk says, v'espos b'shnei haluchos, Moshe Rabbeinu grabbed the luchos, the first luchos, v'ashlichem me'al shtei yodoi, and he threw them down from his two hands, v'ashperem, and they broke. Now, the luchos were very, very big, and very, very heavy. Bitanya, luchos, the two luchos, Arkon Shisha, they were 6 amah wide, Virachman Shisha, and 6 amah in their width, in their height, and their width, the Ovian, and their thickness, Shlosha. Each one of the luchos was 3, again, for a total of 6. So this was a cube that was 6 by 6 by 6. It's, again, it's totally incorrect. When you see all the pictures of the luchos with the curved arch top, that's absolutely incorrect. The luchos were a cube. They were square, flat at the top. And therefore, the depictions that you have on many Aron Kodeshes and in many other places that the luchos were rounded at the top is incorrect. In fact, the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal was very, very much against teaching children that the luchos have this curvature at the top, and he says you have to go change it. Others disagreed, said you're not mechuyev to go and change it and tell everybody that it's wrong, but certainly everybody agrees that the luchos were square. They were a cube. They were flat on the top and not rounded on the top. In any event, they were very big, they were made of a very heavy material, and obviously if Moshe Rabbeinu was able to pick them up with his two hands and throw them down, that shows that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gibor. The next attribute that we give to Moshe Rabbeinu was the fact he was an Osher. He was very wealthy. Where do we see that? Well, that we already had in the Gemara. B'sol l'cha, b'sulton shelcha yehei. To Moshe Rabbeinu, we made the second luchos, so all the extra material he was able to keep, and that made him very wealthy. Where do we see Moshe Rabbeinu was a Chacham? Chacham, Rav Shmuel, Darei Tavayim. Both Rav Shmuel say that Chamishim Shari Bina Nivru Ba'olam. There were 50 levels of Bina, of wisdom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world. The Chulam Nitnu LeMoshe Rabbeinu Chaser Achas. 50 minus 1, 49, we'll give it to Moshe Rabbeinu. The 50th one, even Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to achieve. Shenemar, Batechasreyu Ma'at Me'elukim. He had to have a little bit less, otherwise he would have had too much, so to say, of wisdom, and a human being couldn't contain that much, and therefore he was only able to have the 49 of the 50 levels. So, in any event, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was unbelievably a big chacham. And finally, the fourth characteristic we have in our Gemara is Anav, that he was very, very humble. So Anav, where do we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was an Anav? That's a very famous pasuk. Vish Moshe Anav Me'ot. Moshe was extremely humble. Anav Me'ot. So therefore, we see these four characteristics were present by Moshe Rabbeinu. Mark continues and says, Amar Yochanan, another statement that Yochanan made, call an Neviim Ashir Mayu. All the Neviim were very, very wealthy. And how do we know that? Minolon. So we learn that out. Mi Moshe Umi Shmuel. Both Moshe and Shmuel were very, very wealthy. And also, Mi Amos Umi Yonah. From these other Neviim as well. These four Neviim, Moshe, Shmuel, Amos, and Yonah. Moshe already learned. Moshe, Bilsiv. Nevertheless, the Gemara gives us another attempt to show where Moshe was very wealthy. We'll come back to our Basol Lucha Drash in a moment. But first, it tries to say it from the following. Moshe Rabbeinu Dichsev Lo Chamor Echad Mihem No Sosi. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klai Yisrael, in speaking to them in the Midbar, that he says, I didn't even take a single donkey from you all the time. I was entitled to it. I'm the leader of Klai Yisrael. So if I needed a donkey from you, I could be entitled to it. So he says, I didn't even take that. Now, Gemara says, Ibelo Agra, if he didn't offer to pay for it, so then what's the big shevach to Moshe Rabbeinu? They didn't steal the donkeys? Lafuki man the shoka below Agra? So you're praising Moshe Rabbeinu by saying, oh, he didn't steal from the people? That's not much of a praise to say that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't steal from the people. Ella, it must be, Dafilu Biagra, even if he was willing to pay for it. So, nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to borrow a donkey from them. Why? Because he was so wealthy, he didn't need to borrow a donkey from them. Gemara says, maybe not. Duma mishum da ani hava. Maybe the gifts that we have is that he was an ani. He was a poor person. And therefore, that's why he didn't go and rent a donkey for them, because he didn't have anything to carry around, or he didn't have the money to even go and rent a donkey for them. Others suggest that the gifts over here should be anov. And you can see this in the Hagolos Hitzionim, Osei, that the gifts should be ani, the anov, that he was too humble to go and ask them for a donkey, or to even go and rent for them from them a donkey. So in any event, so this isn't the raya that Moshe Rabbeinu was very wealthy. Maybe the reason why he didn't take a donkey from them was either was too humble, or he didn't even have the money, or he didn't have a need to go and borrow a donkey for them or rent a donkey for them because he didn't have a lot of stuff to take around. So Gemara goes back to the source that we already had earlier in this year, Element Pesol Lucha, Pesol Ten Yehei Shulcha. So we learn it out from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu made the second Luchos and all the extra material he got to keep. That's how we know Moshe Rabbeinu was very wealthy. Where do we see that Shmuel was very wealthy? Shmuel Dosiv, likewise, he said the similar thing that Moshe Rabbeinu said. Hinini Anu Bi Neged Hashem, when they had asked to have a melech, and Shaul was going to be a melech, so Shmuel tells him, listen, I want you to know, I'm going to appoint the melech for you, but what did I ever do to you that's so wrong, that you're so upset, so to say, with me? Hinini Anu Bi Neged Hashem, answer me in front of Hashem, the Neged Mishicho, in front of the king, Eshor Mi Lekachti, V'chamor Mi Lekachti, did I ever take a shor from you? Did I ever take a chamor from you? So therefore, Ibechinam, again, the Gemara says, if he took it with out paying for it, so then that's not such a shevach. Lafuki man the shaka b'chinam, as opposed to somebody that took it without paying for it, that's, you're giving me such shevach, that's not much of a shevach. Elo dafilu b'schar. He says, I didn't even go and rent it from you. So therefore, that shows that Shmuel was very, very rich, that he didn't have to go rent for them a donkey. Moshe says, again, maybe not. Dilmo the ani hava or the anav hava. Maybe he was very poor or very humble, and that's why he didn't go and rent even a donkey for them. So it says Yitaka, right? Elohim. This pasuk is the source. It says Uchuvaso Haramasa. When he would go and make the circle and rounds of Klai Yisrael, he would end up back in Haramasa. So Kishon Beso, that's where his house was. Now, he went back to Ramah, to his house. Bama Rava, Kamokum Sholach Beso Imo. Wherever he went, his house was with him. What does that mean? He had a whole number of different places along the way that were like houses for him, and therefore he must have been very, very wealthy. Gemara says, by the way, Amar Rava, Godol Ma Shinema Bishmuel Yosef Ma Shinema Moshe. We just had two similar statements, both by Shmuel and Moshe. So Rava tells us that which we said by Shmuel is even greater than that which is said by Moshe Rabbeinu. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it said, Dilo Moshe Rabbeinu Ksiv Lo Chamor Echad Mehem Nasasi. I didn't take one donkey from you, and which meant Afilu Beschar, even he didn't rent it from them. Whereas Vilu Gabi Shmuel Afilu Biratzon Lo Sucharo. That means he didn't go and rent it, even if the owner was willing to go and give it to him. Biratzon. The owner said, sure, it'd be my pleasure. pleasure, my honor. He didn't even do it there. D'chsev, v'yomru, lo ashaktanu, v'lo ratzosanu, v'gomer. That yes, you certainly didn't steal anything from us, and you didn't take anything from us against our will. In other words, we were more than willing to go and rent it to you, but you never even rented from us. So Rava says that praise, so to say, which was saying by Shmuel, was even greater than the praise that was saying by Moshe Rabbeinu. In any event, that's the first two of the Nevi'im that we said was very, very wealthy, Moshe and Shmuel. Then we had Amos and Yonah. So Amos, where do we see that Amos was very wealthy? It says by Amos, Vayan Amos. Amos said, "Vayomer Amatzia." He said to Amatzia, "Lo Navi Anochi, Lo Ben Navi Anochi. I'm not a Navi, and I'm not a dead Navi. Ki Voker Anochi Uboles Shikman. All I am is I'm a person who's a boker. That means from Bokar. He's a shepherd of cattle." I am Anochi Uboles Shikman. I am a person that goes and is Mavaker. I look at Shikman. I go and look at sycamore trees. And what does that mean? Kidimatagim Rav Yosef is Rav Yosef, who was an expert in Targum. Rav Yosef was blind, and he was an expert in Targum because Targum is Torah Sheba Al Peh, which a blind person is allowed to learn, as opposed to Torah Sheba Ksav. He's supposed to learn inside, and he, of course, was blind, so he didn't learn it. So he spent a lot of his time learning the Targum, which he was allowed to learn. In any event, Rav Yosef said that this Targum explains, Are more, ke se ano. I am the owner of a lot of bakar, a lot of cattle, the shikmin li bishvelta, the gomer, and I have a lot of sycamore trees in the shvela, in the coastal plains. And therefore, Amos obviously had a lot of property if he's telling us about all of his cattle and all of the property he owned in the shvela, and therefore we see that Amos is very, very wealthy. Finally, the fourth and final Navi is Yonah. Where do we see that Yonah was very wealthy? By Yonah, d'chsev, it says by Yonah, v'yitein sichora v'yerid ba. When Yonah was running away from the nevuah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to give to the people of Nineveh, so he ran away to Tarshish to get on a boat to run away from this nevuah. And it says, v'yitein sichora, he paid the entire rental for the boat and got on it. V'amar of Yochanan, he didn't only pay his own cost of getting on the boat, shenosan sichora shel svino kula. He was in a rush to go, so they said, no, we're waiting until we fill up the boat. He says, okay, one person is $10, and 100 people is 10 times 100, $1,000. I'll give you the whole 1,000. So he was very, very wealthy because he paid for the entire rental of the boat. And Amar Rabbi Brominus, Sechora Shosvina, this renting of this boat, Havya Arbas Alofim, 4,000 dinre dava, golden dinar, which is a fantastic sum of money. And therefore, obviously, Yonah must have been very, very wealthy. Finally, the Gemara concludes with another statement for Yochanan. Bar Rav Yochanan, Betchila, Haya Moshe, Lamei Torah Umishakcha. Originally, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was learning by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he would learn every day dutifully the Torah, but he would forget it. He would have a hard time remembering the Torah. Until finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him as a present. Ashenitna lo b'matona. As the Pasuk says, Shenemar, Vayitein el Moshe kichaloso ledaber ito. And it says over there that Vayitein is a lashon of matona. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu got all the Torah as a matona. That concludes this Agarata section, and now we go on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah continues to tell us that if Reuven was Madir Hanoah, that Shimon couldn't get Hanoah from him, so still, nevertheless, Vizonis Ishto, Reuven is allowed to go provide support, food, food for the Ishto of Shimon, yes, Bonim, and for the children of Shimon. Afalpi, even though Shuchai Vizonosim, even though Shimon was obligated to go and provide food for his wife and for his children. Now, how is he exactly chayav to provide food for his children? So some suggest this is talking about children under the age of 6 years old. As we learned previously, that technically the husband, the father, doesn't have to go and provide food for the children. However, Gemara tells us that it's a terrible, terrible thing if the husband doesn't go and supply food for the children that are under the age of 6 years old. And of course, he should supply food for them even if they're older. But you can't necessarily take him to a Beis Din and force him to go and pay for that except under certain circumstances. So in this situation, technically, while Reuven is giving the wife and the children food, it's not a direct benefit to Shimon. It's only, at most, an indirect benefit. And therefore, the Tana of Mishnah says it is allowed to be done. As the Ran says, at the end of Dira Maschel, Vizonis Ishto, he says, Hai Hanona, Hano, the Mimelohi. It comes by itself, so to say. He's not having to go and spend that money. So it's an indirect benefit as opposed to it's a direct benefit. Therefore, it's allowed. Mishnah continues and says, however, v'lo yozun es behemto, but Reuven would not be allowed to go and feed the animals of Shimon whether they're bein tameya. Tameya is a term that we use for a non-kosher species of animal, bein tahor, whether they're a kosher species of animal. Tameya and tahora mean kosher and non-kosher species. Tahora means kosher, tameya means non-kosher species. I always joke that to say that a pig is treif is technically not true. So you could say a pig is not treif, but it means, of course, that you can't eat a pig because a pig is not tahor, it's tameya. That's the proper terminology that we use for non-kosher animals. A treif animal is a kosher species animal that has an anatomical abnormality that makes it into a treifa. After you shecht it, you find inside there was an anatomical defect, so that makes it into a treifa. In any event, Reuven would not be allowed to go and feed the animals, whether they're kosher animals or non-kosher animals, of Shimon. And that's because they would be fattened up by his feeding him, which directly benefits Shimon, and therefore it's not allowed. On the other hand, Rabbi Lezer disagrees. Rabbi Lezer Omer, yes, Zonas Hatzmeya, he's allowed to go feed the pigs, the horses, the camels, the non-kosher animals, because they're not going to be eaten by Shimon, and therefore the fact that they're fatter doesn't really directly benefit Shimon. However, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Lezer, Vein Zonas Es HaTohora, can't feed his goats, his cows, his sheep, his kosher animals, because if they fattened up, so then Shimon will get a direct benefit that there's more for him to eat, there's more for him to go and sell to another Jew, and therefore that would be a direct benefit. Now, the Chachamim who say that you can't feed even the non-kosher animals said to Rabbi Lezer, who said you could feed the non-kosher animals, and they said, Amulo, they said to Rabbi Lezer, Ma ben tmei l'Torah, why are you allowing the person who's not allowed to give Hanuah to Shimon to go and feed the non-kosher animals of Shimon, but you agree that he can't feed the kosher animals? So he said, the Chacham said to Rabbi Lezer, Amulo, Ma ben tmei l'Torah, why should there be a distinction between these two animals? So, Amar Luhu, so Rabbi Eliezer says back to these Chachamim, the reason why I allow to feed the non-kosher animals but not the kosher animals is shatahora nafshol l'shamayim, the kosher animal species, so their nefesh, so to say, belongs to our kosher baruch hu v'gufo shelav, but he gets to eat them if they're shechted, so he gets to eat them, and therefore if they're fattened up, that's why Reuven's not allowed to give hanuah to Shimon. That's why Reuven can't go and feed the kosher animals of Shimon, but the treif animals he's not going to go and eat. Utmeya, and we turn to Lamed Ches on the days, but the non-kosher animals that Shimon owns, Nafsha Vegufa LaShemayim. Not only is their nefesh belonging to Hashem, but their guf also belongs to Hashem, because I can't eat the chaz of flesh, I can't eat the horse or the camel flesh of these animals, and therefore, if they're fattened up, it doesn't cause direct benefit to Shimon, and that's why Reuven can go and feed the non-kosher animals. That's what Rabbi Lezer tells the Chachamim. The Chachamim say back to Rabbi Lezer, Amulo, they said to Rabbi Lezer, no, Afatmeya, Nafsha LaShemayim Vegufa Shalom. No, even the non-kosher animals, yes, their nefesh belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but their bodies do belong to Shimon, because Shim Yirtze, if he wishes to, Harihu Mochro Liov the Kochav, he can sell to a guy, the guy made horse meat, and therefore, the fact that the horse is fatter is a direct benefit to Shimon, or Omachil HaKlav, or he can feed it to his dogs, and that's a direct benefit to him. Instead of the dogs having only 5 pounds of meat, they'll have 8 pounds of meat, because he fattened up the horse, and therefore, it is a direct benefit both for the kosher and non-kosher animals. That's why the Chacham Torah Bilezer, he's not allowed to feed. Reuven wouldn't be allowed to feed in this situation. When Shimon's not allowed to get enough from him, both Reuven can't feed his kosher and non-kosher animals. Whereas the Chacham say, only the non-kosher animals are allowed to be fed, but not the kosher animals. Morris thoughts and says, If a person says that you're not allowed to get an offer from me, so Reuven says to Shimon, you're not allowed to get an offer from me, nevertheless, mutu lahasi lo bito. Nevertheless, he's allowed to go and marry his daughter. Shimon is allowed to give his daughter to Reuven to marry. Now, Heavyweight Rosera questioned this, and he said, what are we talking about? Who is not allowed to get Hanoah from who in this situation? Do we say, Ilemo, b'shenichse avi kalo asurin alachoson? Is it Shimon, who is the father of the Kala? He's not allowed to give Hanoah to the Choson. So in that situation, he's not allowed to give Hanoah to Reuven. So then, how would he be allowed to go and marry his daughter to Reuven? Because by giving his daughter to Reuven, Harimosa lo shivcho l'shamsho. He's giving him, now we call it shivcho l'shamsho. Doesn't mean that she's chas v'shalom a shivcho. But the wife has certain obligations to the husband, and the husband has obligations to the wife to support her, etc. So the wife does certain household duties, which are like a shivcha. So in this situation, the Shimon, who's not allowed to give Hanoah to Reuven, by giving his daughter to Reuven, is in fact giving Hanoah to Reuven. So how could that be allowed? So the Gemara says, we must be talking, therefore, Ela b'nichse chason, asurin alavi kala. We're dealing over here where the chason is not allowed to give Hanoah to the kala's father. So Reuven is not allowed to give Hanoah to Shimon, the Kala's father. Nevertheless, in that situation, he's allowed to go marry Shimon's daughter. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, so that's not such a big chiddush. Gedol b'zu, I mean, we already learned more than that. That zonis ishto v'sbonav. In the beginning of the Mishnah, we said that Reuven would be allowed to go and even feed Shimon's wife or Shimon's daughters. So if he's allowed to feed the wife or the daughter, so certainly he could marry the daughter. So avu b'shu chayv b'zonosan. Here, Shimon is chayv to a certain extent to support his wife and his daughters. So what's the big chiddush to say that if Reuven can go and feed them, v'atam mitbuta l'hasi lobito, that he could also marry her? If he's allowed to feed her, of course he could marry her. So what's going on over here? What exactly is the case that we're saying that Rabbi Yitzchak bar Chananya says to Rav Huna that Hamuder Hanoa Mechavero Mutu Lasi Lobito? What exactly is the case? So the Gemara says, Liolam, in fact, you know what the case is? Shenichse Avi Kalo Asurin Al Chosin. It's Shimon that's forbidden to give Hanoa to Reuven. And therefore, when he gives over his daughter, Obebito bogeres umidaita. If it was a young daughter, so then it would be like giving a shivcha l'shamshol, it wouldn't be allowed. But here, he doesn't have the right to give over his daughter to bogeres. He's 12 and a half and up, so he doesn't have the right to go and marry her off anymore. So even though he's maskim to this, he says, oh, she's a great shidduch, and he's helping to make the shidduch, and in this situation, you might have thought that it's awesome of him because he's benefiting Reuven. So the answer is no, since technically his daughter is on her own. She's a Bogeris, and she's getting married on her own. She's the one that says yes to Hareat Mekudeshesli, and not that her father is marrying her off. So in this situation, that's why you might have thought that Shimon can't give his daughter over to Reuven. So yes, the answer is that he can. And I'll show you that this understanding is correct because the Braisa says it beferish. Tani Nami Hochi, the Braisa says what Rav Huna said beferish. And what is that? Hamudu Hanoa Mechaveiro, if Shimon is also to give Hanoa to Reuven, also Lasilobito, then he wouldn't be allowed to give his daughter over to Reuven. But what type of daughter are we talking about? That's a daughter who's a Ketana. Avo Masio Bito Bogeret Sumidaita. But he would be allowed to give over his older daughter, who's above the age of 12 and a half, because she's the one that's really getting married, and he's just agreeing to it. He's masking to it, but he technically doesn't have to be masking to it. She's on her own, and he may have helped make the shidduch, but at the same time, it's not considered that he's directly benefiting Reuven, and therefore, this is what is allowed. Mark continues and says, I'm Rav Yaakov. Rav Yaakov tells us, Hamadir bino l'talmud Torah. The Ran explains over here that we're dealing here. Hamadir bino l'talmud Torah, diro maskol, ha'ov, the father, he says to his son, I ask myself to get hanor from you. Why? Shlo yehena aviv mimenu. The father says, I will not get hanor from you. Kidei shlo yisbatel mitalmud Torah. The Ran's understanding over here, there are other understandings we'll learn simply like the Ran. The Ran says, the father made a neder over here, according to Rav Yaakov, in order that his son shouldn't neglect his Torah learning. And the son had to go and do Kibbutz of Aim, it would constantly be busy doing Kibbutz of Aim. So therefore, the father said, I ask you to go and give me Hanor. I ask myself to get Hanor from you. And therefore, the son won't have to do Kibbutz of Aim. And therefore, the son can spend all of his time learning. And the father wanted that. So therefore, that's why the father was Madi bin Ola Talmud Torah. That's the way the Ran understands the statement of Rabbi Yaakov. Now, when the father says, I'm asking myself to get Hanor from you, that really means anything that will disturb his learning of Torah. But he didn't mean to include, and therefore it is mutter lemalos lochavis shomayim, that the son is allowed to go fill up some water for the father. The Ran points out it has to be the father's water. It can't be the son's water, because then he would be directly giving Hanor to the father. But as long as it's the father's water, the son could go fill up a glass of water for him. Ulahadlik lo as an air. If it's the father's nair, the son could go and light that, because these are very, very minimal things and were never really included in the father's asking himself to get enough from the son, because his whole purpose was that the son should go learn Torah. And these things won't really impact him. The son to give him a glass of water, the son to light a fire for him, that wouldn't share the son's learning. That would still allow the son to learn Torah, and therefore the father never included that in this neder. Likewise, Rav Yitzchak Amar, Rav Yitzchak says, and somebody had the word over here, afilu, litzlos lo dog katan. He allows him even to roast a small little fish. These are all considered very, very minor, very, very small deeds and actions, and were never included in the original Isser Hanah. Amar Yirmiyah, Amar Yochanan. Rav Yirmiyah tells us the name of Yochanan, another statement. Hamudu Hanah Mechaveiro. If Reuven says he's also to get Hanah from Shimon, Mutul Ashkoso Kos Shel Shalom. Nevertheless, he's allowed to give him a Kos Shel Shalom. What does it mean, a Kos Shel Shalom? My Nihu, what is that? So Gemara says, in Babel, Hocha, over here in Babel, Targimu, they explain the Kos Shel Shalom as being Kos shel bei so'evel. This is the cup that they would normally give to the person in Avelus in his house. The Gemara also tells us that they would drink 10 cups of wine. There were a whole number of cups that they would drink in the house of the Avel. So this is not considered a major type of anah. This is similar to the son who is supposed to be learning Torah. The father says, I don't want you to be disturbed in your learning. So I'm asking you to give me anah so you won't go and spend all your time doing kibud of ein. And you'll spend time learning, but we said he can fill up the cups for his father. He can give his father a little bit of water because it's not considered a major thing. So too over here, even though Reuven says, I won't get an offer from Shimon, so he is allowed to go, Shimon's allowed to go give him the kos shobei so'eva. In Eretz Yisrael, this is what they said, hocho, targimu, in bubble, this is what they explained the kos shosholim to be. But my Rav, in Eretz Yisrael, Amri, they said that this kos shosholim was kos shobei samerchos. They used to have a custom to go and drink hot water in the bathhouse. They felt that that would be healthy for a person, so that's also considered a very, very minor type of anah, so you'd be allowed to go do that. So again, in Bavel, there so, they had slightly different interpretations of what this kosher shalom was. In any event, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel, they said it's a very minor thing, and even though you're also to give him anah, this you're allowed to go and do. The Mishnah continues and said, V'lo yazunes behemto bein, whether it's a kosher animal and it's a kosher are non-kosher animals, and Achlam say that Reuven, if he's ushered to go and give Hanoah to Shimon, would not be allowed to go and feed his kosher or non-kosher animals. Reuven Lezer said, only the kosher animals you're not allowed to feed, but the non-kosher animals you are allowed to feed because he doesn't really benefit from the fact that his non-kosher animals are fatter. Gemara says, Tanya, Yehoshua ish Uza Omer Yehoshua, a man who came from a place called Uza, said the following, Zon avodov vishiv chosov hakinanim, that in this situation, Reuven would be allowed to go and give Hanoah by feeding the avodim and the shifachos kinanim of Shimon, even though he wasn't allowed to give Shimon Hanoah, because he don't eat them. Below Yozun, however, you can't go and feed Esbehemto, Bein Tmeya, Bein Torah, like the Chachamim, you can't go give the animals which you're going to eat, whether they're kosher animals which you can eat, or whether they're treif animals, non-kosher animals which somebody else can eat, maybe a dog will eat them, or a non-Jewish person will eat them, so you're not allowed to be Zon, you can't give food to the behemoths, whether they're kosher or non-kosher, but you can go give his Avodim and his Shvachos HaKenanim food. That's what the Brisa says, which is similar to what the Chachamim said. Gemara says, my taima, why are you allowed to go and feed the avodim in shvachos haknanim, but you can't go feed his animals? So Gemara says, avodah v'shvachos haknanim liman chirusa avidat. That's because, as I pointed out, you don't eat the slaves. You don't eat the avodim and shvachos haknanim of the person. Their purpose is to do work, but not to be eaten. This lashon of man chirusa, the Rush tells us, means limaris ayin lechavod v'lamo lefun l'shamsho, that you want to maybe make them look nice so that you have, whoa, he has nice servants, they look handsome, they look very impressive, but that's not to eat. They know choshesh bepituma, we're not concerned that you're fattening them up chas v'shalom to eat them. So therefore, the avodim and the shvachos kinanim, you'd be allowed to go and feed. Now the Ran does point out dira maschal es avodim. He says nearly the mizonos yaseirim. We're talking about extra food, because if it's the basic food needs, so then you are directly benefiting him. But if this is extra food, so that's what we're referring to, and you're allowed to go and feed them, as opposed to behema, the kosher and non-kosher animals, lefituma avida. Their purpose is to fatten them up so they'll eventually be eaten. If they're kosher, they could be eaten by him. If they're non-kosher, they could be eaten by his dogs, or they could be eaten by non-Jewish people. So therefore, for the animals, the purpose is lefituma. As opposed to the slaves, the purpose is to have them do work for you, have them be your guards and escort, and if they're looking good, that's not a direct hanah, it's an indirect hanah, and that's why Yehoshua Ish Uza said, Zon avodah v'shibchosu lakinanim. However, v'lo yozun es behemton bein tmeya bein tahora. With this, we conclude today's shir. We'll stop over here at the Mishnah, and Mitzvah Shem will start the new Mishnah tomorrow.